Yours is a famous bit of coast for lobsters.
Not so good as it was. It's overfished now. I just work 20 or 30 pots now on my own with the small boat. But I have noticed a difference, because with that number in the old days, we'd kill 18 or perhaps 2 dozen at one time. And now you're lucky if you come in with a dozen.
Too many at the game.
That's one thing. Another thing is we can work a lot faster with motorboats than what we could with sail and oars. You can work 70 or 80 pots with a motorboat and travel a lot further. When I started with the old dad as a lad of 14, it was all sail and oars, the old open lug sail. And we had crab and lobster fishing from Glen May to the Calf of Man, but we never worked more than 40 or 50 pots.
But you say you only work 20 or 30 now.
I was telling you what I do personally. I happen to like it better on my own. I can come when I like and go when I like and take no account of nobody. But there's not one of us can make a living out of lobsters these days. We have to go for crabs as well. And that's one of the main trials nowadays, is getting bait for crabs.
I thought a crab would take any old bait.
Not him. He wants it clean and fresh, just like your own glove on a plate. You must be thinking of lobsters. You get hold of any salt bait and the lobster will eat it, but not crab. And that's our trouble. We get plenty of salt bait and the lobster will take salt bait all right. But if you can get fresh bait, you can kill lobster and crab both.
I see, and of course the same pot does for both.
Don't talk to me about pots. Look at the stuff they give us now to make them with. Sisal. Manila is the right stuff. It's strong, it'll hold, and you can't get good manila nowadays for love nor money. What is sisal? Nothing better than twisted glass. If you get a spell of bad weather so you can't go near your pots, the lobsters will cut their way out in 2 or 3 days. That stuff's no good.
And on a stormy coast like yours, you'll often have to leave them longer than that.
Some days you come in with a good catch, and some days you come in with nothing. And in the winter, with a gale of wind blowing the surf up against the locks, you might go out and find the whole lot washed away. Then, like the farmer, we live on our losses.
But at least you've got a steady market when the catch is good.
In the summer, you can sell all you want to the hotels. Lobsters, that is. Crabs go to Liverpool. And in the winter, you send all to Liverpool, crabs and lobsters both.
Fred, I've often wondered how you auctioneers always seem to know who's going to bid.
Well, it's not so hard as it might look. I don't really know how to explain it. It's use and practice, I suppose. I was brought up in the business by my father, and I picked it up as I went along. You keep your eyes open and your wits about you, just as you do in your job, Trevor. And you soon see plenty of things that are help. Things that you know. A look on somebody's face, or a movement they make, or some little sign that gives you a pretty good idea they're going to bid. And 9 times in 10, you're right. It's sort of keeping just a little bit in front of them all the time.
And knowing the people and their ways helps as well, I dare say.
You've got to be able to make a joke and take a joke as well. And if you can turn it to advantage with regard to what you're selling, so much the better. We do some things a bit differently over here. Fat cattle, of course, aren't bid for in the marts any more than on the mainland. And I sometimes miss the excitement of bidding. But I suppose it wouldn't do. Demand in these days would be greater than supply, and that would push the prices right up. But all sheep here are graded and sold by live weight, as shown on the scale. We don't sell by estimated weight, as you do in England.
Oh, there's no argument.
That's right, and on an island like this, you can't specialize as an auctioneer in one line any more than you can as a farmer. You have to be an all-round man. I've come up against valuers from the mainland at farm sales who are experts in stock, but get right out of their depth when it comes to land and furniture and so on.
Daring's the main thing over here, I take it?
Oh, no. Nothing's the main thing in the Isle of Man farming. Most of us have always been mixed farmers, crops, store cattle, sheep, pigs, and dairying. We've always had to grow a lot of oats, and a lot of green crops, too. kale and turnips to feed the cattle on in the late spring. We're self-supporting, you see.
But your meat's rationed, isn't it?
Yes, but it's a bigger ration than yours. Milk and Manx butter aren't rationed at all, nor eggs. And then, all our meat is fresh killed. We don't have any tinned stuff. We've learned a lot about farming from you on the adjacent island. But as to meat production, I think you could learn a lot from us.
I dare say.
For one thing, look at the number of bull calves you slaughter. We travelled from Liverpool to Penrith once, and a gentleman offered us a pound for every steer calf we saw from the window of the train. I didn't see one. Now you could go on any farm in the Isle of Man and find them. And that's simply because we're not allowed to slaughter calves except under license from the government. The only calves you can sell for veal are steer calves of the dairy breeds. Well, that means we're rearing many more cattle per farm. And then again, the island used to be rampant with contagious abortion. But now every heifer, regardless of breed, has to be vaccinated by law. I don't see why you don't do that in England. Our TB scheme is ahead of yours, too, in some respects.